From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Debbie Elliott. Coming up, the Democratic Party tries to put the brakes on the rush for early presidential primaries. But we begin our program with a visit to the home of Maryland National Guardsman Scott Fink. We've been following his adjustment back to civilian life since he returned from a tour in Iraq. I first met his wife, Monica, in April of 2006, about a month before Scott came home.
I worry about what he's seen, if he'll be able to adjust, if he does have a stress disorder, or how hard it would take him to go back to being, not normal, I mean, everyone has their things, but just go back to normal life, to the normal things that we used to do and not have, like, flashbacks and things like that. And then with the kids, just trying to go back to how it used to be, just the same old routine, happy.
Monica took part in the Maryland National Guard's Family Readiness Program, a series of briefings that urged spouses not to expect too much when their soldier gets home. A guard chaplain told them, "You don't know what he's seen or how he might have changed. Just be thankful that he's home." Monica and the kids welcomed Scott home when his unit arrived at the local armory last summer. I checked in with the family a few months later at their home in Olney, Maryland.
It hasn't settled yet, but I know it never does. Just been an adjustment all around, because he came home May, I got pregnant in June, and then I was sick for the first 3 months. I just laid on the couch, so.
It was a little hectic coming from a war zone, and you're still a little bit on edge, and it's hard to get used to regular life again. I found myself looking for roadside bombs on the side of the road.
Things are still a bit hectic in the Fink household.
No, let him sleep.
What about 7-year-old Daniel and 4-year-old Genevieve are jumping all over Monica, firing off an endless stream of questions. She's keeping a close eye on the newest addition to the family, 5-month-old Abigail. Baby Abigail is wheezing a little. She picked up a cold from one of the older kids. But she's bright-eyed and fat-cheeked, and Monica seems to be taking everything in stride.
It's a little while, but I think it's getting better now. Me going back to work and getting a little bit of routine, but now school's starting again, so it's going to get crazy again. But I think we're getting used to it and stuff. And we're trying to, I communicate better than he does. But I'm trying to get him to communicate. I'm talking.
What about you, Scott?
Well, it's still a wild ride. Still the roller coaster, but I guess that's life. You know, you take it as it comes. Ups and downs, that's what life's all about, I guess.
36-year-old Scott has lost weight since the last time I saw him. He fidgets, tapping his knees and twisting his hands as he talks. Scott's National Guard unit is now back in Iraq, but he stayed behind to seek treatment for the post-traumatic stress disorder he didn't want to admit that he had.
It was very tough. It was probably the hardest thing I ever did. Is admitting that I needed help.
What made you decide you really did need help?
I was just every day, you know, just waking up and not feeling myself and, you know, all the other symptoms that I went through. And
you had told us that you would find yourself driving down the road and be checking for roadside bombs,
right?
And odd behavior like that.
Right.
Did that continue to get worse?
Yes. And then I had really vivid flashbacks and so forth.
Had it gotten to a point where it affected your work? Are you still working with Verizon?
Yes. Some days I have, like, bad memory days where I can't remember anything. And I would find myself going back and forth to my truck and not knowing what I needed from my truck. And I got numbers backwards. And sometimes I forget people's names and so forth. And then I was evaluated for traumatic brain injury, and I'm still going through the evaluation process of that because the ID went off right next to my door back in Iraq.
Why do you think it took you a while to finally go get help?
It's that stigma, just, you know, you're not a strong person, you can't handle it, you know, so forth. But my friends have been great about it, and they may tease me about it, but that actually makes me feel better.
Scott never used to watch the news. The last time we talked, he said negative coverage of the war just made him too angry. But now that his unit is back in action without him, he watches and he worries. Monica still won't watch the news. She prefers the TV show Army Wives. She's an OBGYN nurse and displays an ironclad calm as she juggles the demands of her three young children and her husband's transition. But she admits it's sometimes a struggle.
He's not the same person when he came back. I mean, I still love him, but he's just a little different. He's just a little bit different, you know? But everyone, I guess, changes a little bit, but it's just so drastic. I want him to open up more and tell me more what he feels and, you know, why he feels that way and stuff. And sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't.
Scott, do you feel like you're a different person?
Yeah, sorry. I used to be all laid back and everything like that, but now I get frustrated real easy, and I stress out a lot more, and I was so easygoing before, and it feels like whenever there's a mistake that's made, it upsets me, and it's kind of like life and death over there, and I know it's not life and death back here, but it's hard to make that bridge from being over there and back here. And then it just frustrates me and stresses me out, and I gotta calm down. Before, I had no problem relaxing because that's the way I was all the time, and everything just went right over my head, and just happy-go-lucky, you know, everything was good.
How do you feel about the way you and Monica have been able to reconnect? Do you feel like you can tell her what you're going through? She says sometimes she gets the sense that you don't.
Not really. I find it a lot easier to talk to other veterans and my friends that were with me because they know everything I went through, and it's hard to talk to military with a civilian. Even though she watches that show Army Wives and she connects with the women in that show and her friends who happen to be Army Wives themselves. They have their own little thing, and us soldiers have our own little thing too. So,
now, what is your status? As long as you're being treated, you won't have to go, but can you at some point, if you get better, would you have to go back to Iraq?
No, they're going to medically retire me because you cannot receive VA disability and be in the National Guard at the same time. I've done it for so long, it's going to be weird. The military's been a part of my life since I've been an adult, so it's going to be a major adjustment. Yeah, they just promoted me to back in March.
What were you promoted to?
Staff Sergeant.
What do you think you'll do to replace that in your life?
There's veteran groups, motorcycle riding. There's a lot of veteran groups out there for that. And
Monica's rolling her eyes.
Yeah, she doesn't like the motorcycles, but it helps me relax. And I was always afraid to ride a motorcycle, so I never did until I got home from Iraq. So I figured I survived Iraq. I can, you know, ride a motorcycle, and I've been doing that, and I just love to do that. I love to do that, so it's good.
I'd love to hear each of you answer it. If you had to give advice to a family today when one of the spouses was about to go off to Iraq, what would you tell them?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I would tell the soldier, be careful over there. Don't trust anybody. There's a lot of friendly people over there, but you just can't trust anybody because the insurgents and terrorists masquerade as good Iraqis, and they can turn on you at any time. I would tell the families to just seek whatever help you need to get by and try to carry on. I know you can't do business as usual, but, you know, just be strong and, you know, everything will hopefully work out.
Monica, what would you tell a family?
Tell them not to watch the news. Don't even read the papers. If they have family, to have family and friends help them. And the readiness groups helps. I mean, I find that it helped me. I was lucky. You just take it day by day. You know, as much as they prepare you for all the different stages, you don't think it's going to happen to you. You think it's going to be just like it was before, but it's not. So, just be there for your husband. It's important what he's doing. If you don't support him, then that's what you're supposed to do. That's why you're married to him.
Our story was produced by Petra Mayer. Our entire series about the Finks is on our website, npr.org.